This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Future and now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Now, Jonathan, obviously political rhetoric is more effective when it's flanked. By a bald eagle, whether it's a living bald eagle or in this case a statue. So that's something we can all agree on here on this New Year's period. But what did you think of Donald Trump in that setting? I want to echo my colleague Hallie Jackson, who's noted that he has not held a press conference, unlike most incoming president-elects of either party. He is trying very clearly to use social media and certain appearances to get his message out without being responsive. And then this was a bit of a different scene, to say the least.
Well, we're going to see a very different kind of presidency. And he may go a long period without any access to the press except to favored reporters who kiss up to him. Hmm. We could see that. That's a return to kind of a 19th and early 20th century model of America. Presidents who are unaccountable to the media, which he ran against in large part. And I think he's going to have a hard time, though, making good on all of those promises that he just reeled off right there, because he knows that, for instance, on repealing Obamacare, yes, look at the win. They repeal Obamacare in a very showy way.
On paper.
Signs on paper.
Yeah.
I repealed Obamacare. But they're not going to start implementing that repeal for years. And the reason is that there's 20 million people, including millions of Trump voters, who will be thrown off their health insurance. And he's politically smart enough to know that he probably isn't going to be able to do that. So I think he's going to rename it Trump Care, you know, put in some provisions that are a little different. And the rest of it is basically going to be a lot of what we have right now.
All right, you heard it here first, the new rhetoric, Trump Care prediction.
Yeah, listen to this, huh? Is it any wonder, Scott, he doesn't want to talk to them? You know, they've got it all figured out. He doesn't need to talk to them, you know, because, you know, if they did this kind of speculation with, you know, with President Obama, I mean, kind of funny that they would say, well, it's only going to be those that kiss up to him. Well, you know, look who President Obama met with. I mean, how many antithetical reporters did the president meet with? I mean, the last one, I think, was Bill O'Reilly. And O'Reilly was just, you know, holding his feet to the fire and asking him tough questions.
And how many more times did he go on after that?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, well, he was booked with the gal with the, you know, Fruit Loops, you know, the bathtub full of Fruit Loops. You know, that was more important, you know, kind of thing. So I think, you know, a lot of people on the other side are giving Trump credit for taking the message to the people directly. Why have it filtered by the mainstream media? Especially MSNBC. I mean, you can hear the way they're talking. I mean, come on, you know, give me a break. You know, the reporters that, you know, there were favored reporters that, you know, Barack Obama's administration had. And, you know, they were shuffling information back and forth, CBS and that sort of thing. That was his favorite, no doubt about it. And, you know, he was more accessible to CBS. Now he's, is Donald Trump going to have a favored network? We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, he seems to be somewhat, you know, friends with O'Reilly. But even now, you know, it's not like he's spending a lot of time with O'Reilly now that he's the president-elect, is he?
No. And he, in Trump, to Trump's credit, what Megyn Kelly ravaged him, and he still went and talked to her.
For sure.
So...
Well, hey, of all people, I mean, he talked with Mitt Romney and Al Gore, and I mean, he's been open to talk with people, foreign leaders including. So, I think that you know, the mainstream media is doing everything they can to try to box him in a corner. You talk about what the president is trying to do to him, you know, trying to you know, pretty much tell his story for him. But Donald Trump's his own man. He's going to tell his own story. And if he takes it direct to the people, I like what he did with the video, laying out his plan, what he's looking for. And maybe, you know, in this information age in which we live in, hey, he doesn't need the media to that extent, because he's going to have to take the message to the people repeatedly. Because let me tell you, there's going to be a dogfight. There's a dogfight just around the corner starting January the 21st.
Honey? What is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. So Clean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be bottom-up movement. You got to stay in the fight, speaking of dogfights that are ahead. Just because November came and it went doesn't mean that we can't hold the elected officials that we put into office accountable. That is a must. That is the command of we the people, a government of, for, and by us, okay? Michael Oslin is with us, resident scholar, director of Japan Studies. His research areas include U.S.-Asian relations, Japanese defense and political issues, Asian politics and security, air power in Asia. Michael Oslin, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez live. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Well, Michael is the Asian policy expert. What do you see in the development of President-elect Donald Trump's Asia policy?
Well, I think that he and his team have decided that the status quo is no longer tenable, that they're going to challenge it and change it, that we've been losing ground in Asia, that President Obama has been distracted and his policy has just been too ambiguous. And he started that even before the inauguration.
Mm-hmm. What's step one for President-elect?
Well, I actually think the first step is making sure that our allies are comfortable and confident that America is going to remain engaged in Asia. You know, Trump is right to the extent that he has linked together issues of economics and security and politics and the like. For too long, we let them run as if they were on their own independent tracks. And what I think the message is, certainly a message that a lot of people who look at Asia say, is that, you know, the reason we have such a vibrant global economy in large part is because of Asia's contribution to it. And the reason Asia is able to do that is because it's been a peaceful place. So these things are interconnected. It's not that we can separate one out from the other and say, well, you know what, if the politics goes bad, it doesn't concern us as long as we get our cheap Nikes. So part of that has been this, and a big part of that has been the alliance system that we set up after World War II, that we have with Japan and South Korea and Australia, the Philippines and Thailand. And they have been both allowed us to play a major role in Asia, but also been part of this community that has helped ensure that no one country has been able to dominate the region. That is what is starting to change. And so I think job one for Trump is to get the allies back on our side, make sure that relations are tight and that they have confidence going forward.
Well, you know, and of course you have the big unknown chess piece there with China, you know, building military islands and becoming more and more aggressive. So how does that play into the situation?
Well, that's huge. It's one thing that creates so much uncertainty and a sense of insecurity. China has become more aggressive and more belligerent on President Obama's watch, despite the fact that he tried an enormous amount to deepen the relationship, to make them almost an equal partner of the United States. It was responded to by China with this increased aggression and increased belligerence. every nation in Asia is worried about this. It's something I talk about in my new book. It's called The End of the Asian Century, which is coming out next week. It is. It looks at all of this growing risk. You know, Bill, what we usually assume is that as nations get richer, as they start to increase their economic ties and even their political ties, what happens is that they solve their problems. And instead, Asia is going in the opposite direction. We are closer to an armed conflict, if not a war in Asia today, than we were 10 or 15 years ago.
Exactly. And as you say, China particularly becoming very aggressive, claiming this, you know, recognized by everybody except for them is international land, international waters. And they're saying, no, that's our waters. We've got we've planted a flag here and we claim this for China. And, they've gone after a couple of our planes. We had a minor incident here with a drone, fortunately they realized there wasn't a whole lot there, so they returned it. But all this stuff, I mean, you're just sitting on the edge going, well, I mean, it's not going to take a whole lot here to ignite something that's going to get out of hand pretty quick.
Well, that's the fear. The entire basis of American foreign policy since 1972 has been to integrate China into the world economy and the world political system, and in the hopes that it will then act as we expect nations to act, you know, to follow laws and to be cooperative, and if you're big enough to provide some public goods like helping maintain freedom of navigation and the like. Mm-hmm. What we've seen is just the opposite with China. It has become more particularist about its own interests. It does not try to solve those in a multilateral fashion. It intimidates and bullies its neighbors. And as you mentioned, it claims all of the waters of the South China Sea. Now, it has no legitimacy to do so. In fact, the World Court at The Hague, the Permanent Court of Arbitration, ruled last year that China had no legitimacy to these claims. And instead of accepting the World Court's ruling and essentially trying to moderate its behavior or say, well, you know what, we'll figure out a way to solve all this peacefully, China stated it was ignoring the court. It has become a much more confident and nationalistic power, especially under the current leader, President Xi Jinping, who's going to be around all of President Trump's term. So they're going to have to figure out how they're going to get together. And right now, what you're seeing with Trump's statements and Trump's tweets and Chinese reactions, like the drone seizure that you mentioned, is a lot of elbow throwing. Everyone's maneuvering for position on the court.
Exactly. Well, in light of what was delivered and deliberated there at The Hague and the decision that came down, it's, as you say, China just said, oh, hum, and look what they're doing with the militarization of that island. I mean, they basically doubled down on it, didn't they?
That's exactly right. Well, they certainly decided that they weren't going to change their course. I think they were already planning on doing it, and they doubled down to say that, you know, we're going to do it and maybe even do it a little bit quicker. You know, what this has done, Bill, it's not just one island. It's dozens, it's multiple islands, both in the Spratly Island chain and then in the Paracel Island chain. And what this really does is gives them the ability, unlike any other country in the region, gives them the ability to control the waters and skies of the South China Sea. The reason that's important is because 70% of global trade passes through the South China Sea. The economies of Japan and South Korea and China itself are dependent on the waterways of that strategic sea, which really links Asia and Eastern Asia with the Indian Ocean and Europe. So when the United States talks about freedom of navigation, when we talk about making sure that no one country can dominate a region, the importance has to be put in the context of the global economy, of international politics, and basically how states feel that they can act vis-a-vis other nations. China is changing that balance of power. It is not going to give up these islands. They're going to remain militarized. And we have to think now, how do we respond to that?
Exactly. Well, how do we? How do the neighbors respond to it? I mean, they've been bullied, and that's to your point. And when we come back, I want to get into something that's going to be interesting, I think, for our listeners. And that is that you debunk the common wisdom that the 21st century will be the Asian century. And your new book, which comes out next week, The End of the Asian Century, War, Stagnation, and the Risk to the world's most dynamic region. Our conversation with Michael Osland continues. Stay with us, America. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Every single day, yeah. Promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
Well, that's our commitment to you, ladies and gentlemen, to pursue the truth no matter where it leads, because it is just that doggone important for, it seems like decades now, between political correctness and some of the delusionment that has captured our communication. It has really left us so vulnerable on so many levels. This is why, you know, I appreciate Michael Osland coming in and presenting his new book, The End of the Asian Century, war stagnation and the risk to the world's most dynamic region that will be released next week, because it really brings to clarity here what is happening in Asia. I mean, Michael, as I mentioned before the break, many, I guess, would say the common wisdom is that the 21st century will be the Asian century. And you say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I don't think you're calculating all the things that, you know, really make up the reality of what is happening there in Asia.
I think that's right, Bill. Look, we've all grown up now for almost half a century with visions of gold at the end of the rainbow in Asia. And there were good reasons for it. You know, if you remember back in obviously the post-war period, but even into the 50s and 60s, you know, it was a backwards region, underdeveloped, not very important in terms of the global economy. Today, of course, we can't conceive of it in any other sense. And if you're a young person, then it's simply part of your world. And so we made this assumption that that was always going to continue. If it wasn't Japan, then it would be China. And if not China, then it would be Southeast Asia or India and the like. What I found out as I was traveling through Asia for a book, I wanted to write a book on the future of America in Asia, basically to say, you know, we've always been an Atlantic oriented power, but now we have to, no pun intended, orient ourselves to the Pacific.
Right.
And what I discovered as I was going around Asia, even though I had been dealing with it for 25 years, was that there was another side of the story. And it's a little bit what Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story.
Right.
And that is that there was enormous challenge and enormous risk growing in Asia, whether you looked at economics, demographics, domestic politics, or security. And so I wrote the book basically to highlight what the rest of the press wasn't talking about, what the story we weren't getting, and with a simple message to investors or policymakers or travelers or whomever, don't be surprised.
Right.
Don't be surprised if there's a crisis in Asia.
Exactly. We point out economic stagnation. We've gotten some reports of, you know, buildings that are left empty and you know, the manipulation of currency, all this stuff, and that, you know, things have slowed down dramatically in Japan and China. But you break that down further. You say from Japan to India, Asian nations are struggling to maintain growth and balance their economies.
That's right. I think, well, first, if you look at Japan, you know, it's hard for people to remember back already to the 1980s when we assumed Japan was going to take over the world and the world's economy. Obviously, that didn't happen, and Japan for 25 years has been stuck in economic stagnation. Now, I actually think it's been doing better than most of the traditional reporting, but there's no question its high-flying days are over.
Mm-hmm.
What people are just beginning to get their heads around, Bill, is that the same thing's happening with China. You know, we have spent almost two decades now talking about how China was going to dominate the world economy. And because of its size, it will remain an incredibly important part of global trade and global production and the like. But the high-flying days for China, too, are over. There is a good case to be made that it is already in economic stagnation, that it has worker problems. It is actually, because of the one-child policy,
right,
finding it hard now to find workers. It's going to have a demographic decline, a horrific pollution that actually take thousands upon thousands of lives prematurely each year, problems with innovation and the like. And you mentioned these ghost cities. Sometimes cities that are supposed to have 5 million people in them have no one.
Exactly.
So this is the news story, and it's not to say that China hasn't grown. China has grown, but it's to say you have to look at the flip side of what's been going on, and you have to adjust your expectations as to where China is going to be. I think, Bill, the big story of the next decade will not be our concern about a growing China. It's actually going to be our concern about a weakening China.
Mm-hmm. I would think that the indications would seem to point that way, and so, Michael, I guess in one sense, in terms of our objective in pursuing the truth, we appreciate what you're sharing with us. You know, I want to get back to this, the unprecedented demographic drops that are occurring. I mean, what makes the world go round and makes countries go round is its labor force. And China, particularly, their labor force is greatly compromised, as you say, because of the one-child rule.
Right, Bill. What you see, and it's going to be a fascinating thing to look at over the next generation or so, is the decline in population of some of Asia's leading countries. Now, Southeast Asian countries, India, are still growing. Mm-hmm. But if you look at Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, China itself, populations are already declining or are about to decline. Japan is already in a population decline. This is something that was baked into their demographic cake four decades ago. The difference between Japan and China, of course, is that Japan's a rich country, and it is able far better to deal with the challenges of an aging population, of providing social services and entitlements for them. China is going to start, is already aging, is going to start leveling off on population, if not actually declining, long before it gets rich. And so the pressures on the Chinese Communist Party and the government to provide for people who are suddenly finding themselves without support from children, without traditional family networks because there are fewer members of family around, this is going to be the great challenge for China in the coming years. The real concern of the Chinese government, of President Xi Jinping, is not us. It's not the South China Sea. It's not Japan. It's their own people.
Right,
and it's how
exactly
to deal with a people that is very dissatisfied.
Yeah. And then you throw into the mix the fact that they can't breathe because of the environment.
It's unbelievable. You know, your listeners can go on to the web or onto Twitter, Facebook, and look at some of the pictures of the pollution in China that's happening right now. I mean, they've actually had to essentially shut cities down for periods because of the danger to life of the pollution. There's a very interesting tweet that I saw going around, which was a time lapse of a smog storm, you know, like the old sandstorms in the desert.
Exactly. Uh-huh,
a smog storm coming through this city, and it's terrifying. If you go to China, you know that you are going to face this. But it's not just the air. All of their water sources are polluted. The groundwater is polluted. The soil is polluted. This is an environmental catastrophe that has happened as China has had this breakneck growth. That's what I meant by the other side of the story, or the rest of the story.
Exactly. And so what is that going to mean for the international community? I mean, here it is, America is trying to lead the way in terms of the environment and being environmentally responsible. And China, of course, they sign a go-along agreement that puts it off until 2030. Do they have that much time?
Well, you know, with a country that size, you're always able to shove things around a little bit, and they talk about, you know, moving cities or moving the government here and there. This is the great catastrophe that China faces. Look, Japan had a similar situation back in the 1950s. If you remember back to the thalidomide crisis and the horrible pollution, Japan was able to grapple with it and to solve it. You know, China scaled of it makes it that much more difficult to do so. One of the areas, by the way, where we do have good cooperation with China, and we should, is on trying to mitigate the environmental consequences of its growth and in trying to clean up the air and the water. Obviously, the reason the Chinese cooperate with us on that is because they benefit from it. But that's okay. You know, we should be helping. It's good for us. I mean, there are maps you can look at, by the way, where Chinese particulate matter in the atmosphere is carried by the global trade winds all around the globe. We are as far as you can get from China, so we get it less. But Japan and Korea and parts of Asia are inundated with Chinese pollution. So solving China's problem is solving our problem in part.
Exactly. And, of course, with Fukushima and Japan dealing with that as well, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
That continues.
Go ahead. There's no question.
Well, Michael Osland has been our guest, and his new book will be coming out next week, The End of the Asian Century, War Stagnation, and the Risk to the World's Most Dynamic Region. Michael, it will be available at all the usual places, I take it, correct?
Should be in the bookstores, people can go on and find
senior care for my mom. I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
When the bells all ring and the horns all blow, and the couples we know are fondly kissing, will I be with you, or will I be among the missing?
Bill Martinez live.
What are you doing?
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, an honor to have you along with us, celebrating the new year all over the place. For more information, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com or drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Speaking of the new year, it is a time to, you know, set goals for yourself. Some would call those resolutions. Why not? Time to start fresh and begin working on a better you. Resolutions usually focus on living healthier lifestyles. This usually means changing your diet to eat better food or getting a gym membership, maybe stepping up your exercise routine. But did you know sleep plays a huge role in being healthy and is often neglected when people strive for a healthier lifestyle? In fact, we were sharing with everybody earlier about how important sleep is. In fact, they asked people, they said, if you had an extra hour a day, what would you do with that extra hour a day? Well, Dr. Sujay Consagre is with us, and Dr. K, you're a sleep health consultant for Mattress Firm, the director of Duke University's Pediatric Neurology Sleep Medicine Program and author of the book, My Child Won't Sleep. What do you think the number one answer was?
I would hope it'd be get an extra hour of sleep.
You're exactly right. Of all the extra things we could do, the number one answer, ka-ching, was yes, I want more sleep. So America instinctively is understanding they need more sleep. It's just that they're not following up on it necessarily, are they?
That's true. I think we live in a world of chronically sleep-deprived individuals. It's very difficult in our fast-paced world to get the sleep we need.
Well, why is sleep so doggone important? And knowing that it is important, we know it because we know when we get the right sleep, we feel better. We're able to be more effective during the day. But yet it seems to, you know, somehow in our fast-paced world, we think we can put it off.
You're absolutely right. The problem is when we don't sleep, there are a whole host of things that are affected in our bodies. People always used to ask me, why exactly do we sleep? And the answer, there are multiple answers, but it's very vital to our energy and our fatigue level during the day, certainly. If you don't get the sleep you need, you're going to feel sleepy and tired the next day. That's a given. But it's also incredibly important for the health of our heart, the health of our lungs, the health of our immune system. It's important in appetite regulation. It's important in mood regulation. So there's so many different avenues where sleep plays a huge role in how you feel the next day. And so that's why sleep is so important to focus on that for physical well-being. And you hit the nail on the head when you introduced this segment. People always think about eating right, exercising, but sleep is the core when it comes to how well you feel the next day.
It really is a gift, isn't it? I mean, the way our bodies have been designed.
That's right, and there's a reason why all living creatures have some form of sleep. It's an important, very important part of maintaining our body's well-being.
Well, you know, with this hectic season that we've been through, you know, kids home from school, and I know the parents probably feel like they're, you know, trying to wrangle cats here as they go in 50 million directions. Where's my toy? I thought my toy was
Absolutely.
Over here, one thing or another. But it's been tough on parents, you know, to get the kids back on schedule, you know, even after having one night of being up late because Santa was coming. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it really is about a healthy schedule, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the tricky thing about long vacations is, unfortunately, oftentimes we have that tendency to stay up late, sleep in throughout our vacations, both kids and adults. And the problem is that our internal body clocks end up shifting such that it makes it very difficult to go back to bed at a regular time that you would the night prior to going to school or going to work. And that makes waking up in the morning exceedingly difficult as well. And so the key is to try to keep that internal body clock aligned. And one of the big tips I give folks is to try to keep your wake and your sleep time essentially the same, no matter the day of the week, and even over vacations. It sounds crazy. It sounds hard to do, but really trying your best to do that. And if you can't do it, if you push things out a little bit far, you know, far into the night over the vacation time, try to move things up by a few minutes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes each day leading back into your school time and work time. So that way your body clock is adjusting a few days prior to jumping right back into work and school.
Well, you know, Dr. Kay, I've heard over the years, you know, where there's been some people, you know, that are just phenomenal in their gifting and in the work that they do, and they will often brag about how they operate on such little sleep. And I know for a long period of time, I was able to operate on 4 hours of sleep, but I paid a price. I mean, I tried to convince myself that it was a good thing, but, you know, I had to be honest with myself. And I only say this because Donald Trump, our new president-elect, it's been said of him quite often that he operates on 3 to 4 hours of sleep. You know, to your point, that comes with a cost, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you bring up a really important point, which is right now in our culture, our society, people think of sleep as something that you can give up. And they oftentimes brag about the fact that they can do well off of just little amounts of sleep. They say, hey, I only slept 3 hours last night to get this work done, and everybody's giving them high fives as if it's some sort of badge of honor that they're wearing, that the sleep deprivation. And with the amount of science that we have now that supports how vital sleep is, it really requires a shift in our culture as well to understand that, listen, getting by on less sleep should not be seen as something remarkable or an achievement that you've done. It should actually be looked at as something that's discouraged. Mm-hmm. Say, listen, your brain is not working the way that it should with less sleep. You really should be getting more to function at your optimal. When it comes to decision-making, when it comes to judgment, when it comes to attention, lacking sleep affects all of these different avenues. So it's not something you should really be bragging about. I tell people you should be ashamed if you're only sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night. And you know it personally. The effects of, right, of having less sleep, it really affects everything you do the next day. Now, there are some people that have that ability to function well off of less sleep. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, very successful people actually have a gene mutation that allows them to function well off of smaller amounts of sleep. So there are people that can function completely fine, but that's really less than 1% of the population out there.
Yeah, I think that gene has vapored on me. And what I inherited in the last couple of years is the nap gene. I never took naps. I take naps now, and naps are my best friend. I got to tell you, to be honest with you.
And there's nothing wrong with naps. I tell you, if you really have a fast-paced schedule and it's really hard to get that sleep at nighttime, sometimes taking a short 20, 30-minute nap is what you need to really give you that energy back and leave you revitalized for the rest of the day.
Well, in your studies and research, what have you found to be some of the side effects of sleep deprivation that we might not be aware of?
Yeah, so of course, most people that are sleep deprived automatically think, you know what, I'm going to be tired and fatigued the next day, and that's a given. People don't realize that oftentimes depression is linked with lower amounts of sleep. Excessive anxiety can be linked with increased sleep. There can be an increase in your appetite if you don't sleep enough at nighttime, so you're likely to eat more while you're awake if you haven't slept as much the night before. So it really, it makes weight loss really challenging and difficult. And then our immune function, we're more prone to actually getting sick if we haven't gotten the sleep that we need at night. Those are just a few of the side effects. If you have sleep disorders, such as obstructive sleep apnea, where you're not breathing well at night, that can actually increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. And so lots of reasons to get the sleep that you need, and the quality of sleep, not just the quantity, but good quality sleep.
Exactly. And speaking of quality, in this technological world that we live in, I know people, and I don't know how they do this, because I can't keep my brain running up to the moment. Interesting, I can drink coffee and go to sleep right away, but boy, if I'm on a smartphone or a tablet or my computer, it takes me extra time to, you know, get to sleep. And this is some of the other research that's come out as well, is that this keeps our brain so activated that it gets in the way of putting our right foot forward to get the good night's sleep that we deserve and we're looking for, right?
Absolutely. Electronic devices and sleep do not get along. There's an epidemic of folks that are using their devices late into the evening. I think upwards of 60 or 70% of people say they check their smartphone even before they brush their teeth in the morning. So our smartphones are everywhere. They're constantly with us. And the problem is the light that these devices emit actually decreases our brain's own natural sleep hormone known as melatonin. Our brains have no way of distinguishing light from these smartphones versus light from the sun. And so when these devices are close to our faces, our brains are thinking, hey, guess what? It's still daytime outside. I don't need to get to sleep. And it makes it even harder for our brains to turn off.
Well, the final question here, Dr. K, where can listeners go for more information?
Yeah, so I work with, as you mentioned, I work with Mattress Firm. There's a blog where I post a lot of articles about sleep health. It's called thedailydose.com, D-O-Z-E, thedailydose.com. Lots of great sleep tips, health advice from the good folks at Mattress Firm.
Well, Dr. Sujay Kansagra has been our guest, pediatric neurologist and Mattress Firm's sleep health consultant. Dr. K, thank you so much. Some great ideas here, and let's pray for and do some things for a healthier sleep in 2017. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Live.
It's almost like we need some Star Wars power, huh? And the Force could be with us. We the people, it is with us. If you only would realize just how much so. Look, we made a big choice last November, and now we've got a new Congress getting ready to step in, and we'll wait and see as to what possibly could happen. There's all kinds of conjecture that the president may do something here minutes from now that really could, you know, be rather interesting, and it could grab the headlines for a while. Jim Garrity, a National Review senior political correspondent, is with us. Jim, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. So far the year is off to a nice start, but it's only, you know, 2.5 days in.
Right, exactly.
It's a low bar to clear, but I appreciate that.
Well, hey, if we can get through these next couple of weeks without too much craziness, the president's back from vacation, and maybe he can be busy packing some bags as opposed to doing some of the things he's doing, or maybe even what some are threatening that he might do in this five-minute break between these two congressional congressional episodes, you know?
Yeah, that was, I believe, initially talked up by some guy who contributes to the very liberal blog Daily Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anybody who knew things about how the Senate operated was more than dubious of it. Basically said,
yes,
there's, like, you know, all kinds of reasons this can't work the way it is. No, there is no tiny part of time in which there are only 66 senators, and you don't have to do it when Jupiter is rising in Sagittarius and at the proper winter solstice and the moon is this way. No, you can't do that.
Right,
there's only
right.
100 senators, and no, you can't suddenly flip somebody through and put them on the Supreme Court for the rest of their life.
Yeah, all because of 5 minutes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it made for some conversation, I guess. You know, they're talking all these possibilities, you know, and some of the mainstream media are just beside themselves. They still just cannot believe. They're just in as much shock as the Democratic Party. Instead of just stepping up and just saying, hey, look, America has changed here, and we need to be mindful of what we the people are saying.
Yeah, I'm kind of marveling at that. Yeah, you can completely understand this sort of reaction in, let's say, the first couple of weeks of November,
mm-hmm.
right after the election.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
This is a genuinely shocking turn of events. But, you know, we're now all the way well through November. The term President-elect Donald Trump should be getting used to it. I wrote about this a little while ago, Bill, that you hear reports about, you know, people who are passionate progressive activists, the people who take this very seriously, and they're saying they've put on weight since Election Day, and they've lost their libidos, and they're in depression. And I don't know whether to give these people a hug or shake them.
Exactly.
And observe that, like, your life, look, you're the same person you were before Election Day. Right? Your life isn't going to change that much. And this is, you know, what party politics and government is.
Yeah.
Some people really have their sense of identity wrapped up with the party they belong to. And I don't think that's healthy.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you thought it was just the celebrities that were threatening to leave and, you know, how they were upset and crying in all these videos and everything and looking for safe places and kids didn't want to go take their finals. And I mean, it's just like, whoa, really? I mean, come on. And I like you. I for me, though, Jim, I just want to shake them because we need them on the playing field. You know, you can't get away with just feeling sorry for yourself and not participate in this government. This type of government that we have demands that all hands be on deck.
That is very much the case. And also, I point out that, like, I do see, because I got a couple conservatives who are like, no, I like seeing crying, depressed liberals. I like seeing people freaking out.
Yeah.
I like seeing, you know, grown adults having temper tantrums. And as much as, look, I'm not, Bill, I'm not such a good person that I didn't feel any joy on election night.
I understand.
Watching people crying.
Right.
I do kind of feel like it's psychologically unhealthy, right? I mean, we should not, you know, at some point, I'm a man of the right. I was a never Trumper. My attitude now that he's in there is give him credit when he gets stuff right, criticize him when he does stuff wrong. And you should not, your life should be about you and who you are and what you're doing and your family and friends and work and all that kind of stuff. What happens in Washington shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't like be the sort of thing that sends you into a euphoria or depression or something like that.
Exactly.
Ultimately, yeah. So I just kind of feel like there's almost something scarily cult-like in our politics. I kind of want to do whatever I can to dispel that.
Well, it is interesting. You know, you look at the demography and psychologically what is happening across the country. You've got a percentage of the country that's very hopeful. The glass is half full. The other half, it's half empty. But it's the same glass, Jim.
Yeah. You know, I'm as pleased as anybody when I got my end of the year statement for my 401k. I'm glad the markets are doing gangbusters and cartwheels. I have a nag. Like, but the other thing is that, you know, this all came about very quickly and it can all fall apart very quickly.
Exactly.
You know, life is going to have ups and downs, but I don't necessarily think that people in politics, you know, there's been some good economic news, and I'm pleased to hear that. I'm glad there's more of an optimistic spirit amongst the entrepreneurial class. But, you could argue we were just kind of overdue for that. And at some point, you know, I'll ride the good times, but they will eventually come to an end. That's just the nature.
Well, I see it, Jim, as this, you know, pent-up productive potential that has just been lying dormant there, that the lid's been taken off and it's getting ready to explode here. And with that comes an incredible amount of opportunity. I mean, I've been speaking with, Wells Fargo and Bank of America officials, and they're very excited and very uptone about the business prospects. They say they're talking to more small business entrepreneurs that are getting ready to launch in 2017. And I think that bodes well for our economy.
It does. There are a couple of announcements that have come out in the last couple of weeks that seem pretty promising. I don't know if you saw today, Ford announced they're not going to expand to some plant in Mexico. They plan on doing a big expansion to one of their factories in Michigan.
Right.
I believe it was one of the cell phone companies announced this huge expansion. T-Mobile, I believe, was doing that. Look, you know, sometimes you have big announcements from companies and they don't always follow through 100%. But I think even just seeing these headlines of, hey, you know, here are big companies that are hiring lots of people. Boy, you know, if that doesn't get a little spring in your step, I don't know what will, particularly after the last couple of years we've had.
Yeah, that's the yin. And then the yang is President Obama and John Kerry going anti-Israel on us.
Yeah, no, I wrote about that last week. Now, I should point out, John Kerry has been very good to me career-wise. My first full-time assignment for National Review was writing the Kerry Spot blog back in 2004, from about May to Election Day, and just writing about the everything that John Kerry did. He was kind of this perfectly, some would say perfectly terrible or perhaps perfectly silly, far-left, party, arrogant, mug, wanting it both ways, the weather, everything we remember from the good old days, so 2004. And so since then, I was actually kind of pleased to see him become Secretary of State, not because I thought he'd be good at the job, but because on his perch at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he had basically acted like, statecraft is so easy, Bill. If only these idiots would listen to me, you know, put me in there. So he finally got the chance to have his dream job. Here we are 4 years later, and you see the result. It's a little harder than it looks, doesn't it, Senator?
Well, but he thinks he's got it right on. I mean, here it is. You got the Middle East that's been upside down for thousands of years, ancient anger and hatred between these parties. And you got John Kerry and Barack Obama are going to settle it with a cell phone and a pen.
Yeah, at some point I wondered if he was going to buy a condo in Geneva if he was spending so much time there. And look, you almost want to say God bless him. You know, it's nice to try, but is getting an Israeli negotiator and a Palestinian negotiator in the same room to be civil to each other, that's never been the hard part. That's the relatively easy part. It's getting the populations to accept peace. And, you know, right now, from where I sit, the Palestinian population, there's a culture that celebrates suicide bombers. And, you know, the unofficial motto is drive the Jews to the sea.
Exactly.
And until you change that, there's just never going to be any peace. You know, well, Israel gave up the Gaza Strip and only, you know, they elected Hamas and they used the territory for launching rockets. You know,
exactly.
You need both populations to want peace, and we don't have that. Honestly, I don't see much sign of that happening anytime soon.
Exactly. Thank you very much, international community, putting the pressure on there. Now rockets red glare coming into Israel. That worked out brilliantly. And so let's just keep on with this insane theory that it might work when you're forgetting and absolutely ignoring, you know, years of indoctrination of young kids that have grown up with this idea that, in a Palestinian world, there's no room for Israelis.
Yeah. And so when Kerry gave his big speech last week, it seemed to me to really fit a career long pattern of him. Obviously, I think probably most of your listeners remember John Kerry launching his career testifying about the Vietnam War.
Yes, exactly.
Troops that cut off ears and cut off heads and rampaged through the countryside in the manner of Genghis Khan, not Genghis Khan, the way everybody else pronounces it. It's a sophisticated Genghis Khan.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And obviously many U.S. vets felt that was a slander and a lie and a you know, malicious accusation echoing enemy propaganda. And if you look at, you know, with the kind of the core of the piece I wrote last week, if you look through Kerry's whole career going throughout the 80s and 90s, if there was a, you know, there were very few dictators he didn't believe that we should try extending a hand to. Noriega, down in Nicaragua, he applauded the aid we sent to North Korea during the Clinton years, opposed the first Persian Gulf War, then went against his instincts and quoted for the Iraq War in 2003. We all remember that he, you know, realized how that decision blew up in his face and he was eventually, well, I actually voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
That's right.
And it, no matter how many times he got it wrong, he never altered his instinct. He never looked more warily at these guys. And I think you saw that this time as Secretary of State.
Well, Jim, we've got to have you back because I want to talk about this new Congress that's getting ready to be posted here. And you've got some news about that. But in the interest of time, we'll just have you back, okay? And we can unwrap that one. I'm sure there'll be other gifts for 2017 for us to unwrap as well. Jim Garrity, National Review Senior Political Correspondent. Happy New Year, Jim. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
K Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when